Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight's story is about a firefighter who is out there with his unit dealing with a forest fire and encounters a home out in the wilderness. But that is not all that he encounters. Stay tuned. This is his story. If you're new to the channel, please consider subscribing, clicking on that bell and smashing that thumbs up and telling a friend. Now let's get spooky. There are probably 100 different stories that I could tell you about crazy crap that I've seen fighting fires. You might have heard it before, but when you are in the thick of it, with the fire almost laughing in your face as you try to beat it back, I swear to God, it's like it's a living thing. I've been doing this for the better part of 10 years. But there's nothing that haunts me more than what I had witnessed in the late summer of 2018. It was around the middle of August, and this was looking to be about the worst of so many wildfires we had fought over the years so far. I was part of the National Forest Hotshots, just outside of Fresno. I mostly work as an EMT these days, but I still do a little volunteer firefighting on the side, as well as giving some training classes for the new recruits. With my expertise and experience, I couldn't walk away from it entirely, even if this experience damn near caused me to abandon the job completely. I've been four stories up into the guts of a building, crumbling apart beneath my feet, and even helped a kid climb to freedom from a well, as cliche as that is. Curiosity doesn't get the better of many children out there, as well as plenty of adults who should damn near know better by this point in their lives. I can't say that I, or anyone else I know on the job, has ever had to fish a cat out of a tree before, but that ain't saying that it doesn't happen, of course. Still, no matter what I've seen over the decade I've been doing this, there's nothing that compares to this one. Not for me, anyways. It was early afternoon when we were making our way to the scene, 15 of us in total. We were heading to meet up with the crew that had been out there since the previous night, hoping to relieve them, while staying ahead of the blaze. As we wandered on, discussing the finer points of digging ditches and cutting the wild brush and the like, we heard some panicked sound voice on the radio. Be it from the fire itself, the weather conditions, or how deep in those woods we were, we could barely make out a word of what was being said, but it wasn't hard to tell that they were pretty freaked out. Elizabeth Parker, Liz, Lizzie or simply Parker to us, who was one of our newer recruits, tried to place a call on her cell to figure out what was going on. When the thick plumes of black smoke began to drift through the trees around us, we didn't need clarification to know what was going on. From what I could figure, and according to the facts I had heard some long after the sun went down, the fire had dramatically shifted direction, heading right at us. That time of day is the most dangerous for a wildfire when the sun is hot, humidity is low, and the winds are high, making things much more unpredictable. You ain't always gonna be able to outsmart a fire, the chief used to say back when I was green as a cucumber, and he wasn't wrong. As soon as the thick gray cloud came rolling in, I took a head count. I came up three short, ultimately noticing that Parker, Gray, and Jackson were unaccounted for. They were all fairly new to the team, so I had to assume that they had just panicked and fled, but I didn't have time to go hunt them down. We weren't going to outrun this son of a gun, and we didn't have a snowball's chance of beating it back. So we had only one option left. Deploy our fire shelters right here and now. They didn't seem like much, being made of an outer layer of aluminum foil, backed by a silica weave that reflects heat. But they could be effective in a pinch, and boy, were we in a damn pinch. I tried to keep the trembling in my voice as hidden as possible, while I gave a quick run over of the procedures every one of us should know by heart. Unzip the carrying case, pull out the shelter, and shake it open. Step into it. Pull over your head and tie down with your face close to the ground, where the air is the cleanest and the coolest. Use your elbows, knees, and feet to pin the shelter down to counteract winds created by the fire, which could potentially reach 60 miles per hour. Maybe I was reciting these instructions to combat my own fear at the time, but it seemed to help calm some of the crew down as well, or so it looked to me anyways. The air was already thick by the time that we dropped to the ground, huddled up like a veritable subdivision of reflective igloos. If I had to describe it, which given I had chosen to write about this, I suppose I do, I would imagine the sensation to feel similar to what a frozen dinner goes through over those first 30 seconds or so in a microwave. I could feel the almost intolerable heat sweeping over me, accompanied by the sounds of debris falling from the trees while they showered over us. Though it only lasted minutes, it felt like I was cooped up in that glorified aluminum foil for hours, feeling my skin inflame from the blaze and bruise from the debris, along with the whooshing sounds as the fire engulfed us. I heard the screams of some of the crew. A couple shouted out that they couldn't take it anymore, inspiring me to practically bark my demands that they could not leave their shelters under any circumstances. Knowing full well that if any should break free from their cocoons, their lungs would immediately fill with burning smoke, quickly putting their lives to a swift and painful end. I could only hope they could hang in there. When the raging inferno finally passed by, I hesitantly pulled my shelter away, scattering soot and chunks of charred wood to the blackened forest floor. Being certain that this was likely the first wave that we had survived, we quickly went to work, snuffing out the patch fires we could, while attempting to move farther away before the next one hit. These shelters could sustain a lot, but I didn't want to put them any further to the test if we could avoid it, not to mention that I still hoped to be able to locate our missing crew. They panicked, something anyone else could be capable of, but I prayed to everything I held holy that they had remembered their training and deployed their shelters before it was too late. As we attempted to stay close together while making our way further out, blackened and dead tree shed limbs and splinters of wood all around us, causing us to get more and more separated. I called out to those I hoped not to lose track of, to be sure to shelter up before the next wave could move in, though I could only hear scattered replies. Within mere moments, I could feel the warm smoke approaching from my rear while darting my eyes around in desperation to make another head count. Somehow, whether I had taken the wrong path or the others had, I found myself alone. The area that I was currently running through had miraculously been untouched by the first wave, but I continued shouting out to anyone who may hear me. When only that familiar distant whooshing granted me a reply, I hoped that the crew had found a good place to deploy before it got to us. I allowed myself a single glance to my back, seeing the orange glow of the approaching wave a ways off. I knew I had to deploy my shelter soon. But when I noticed a lone cabin some yards ahead of me, I felt panic beginning to set in. I pulled the water from my pack, lifting my mask and attempting to clear my throat enough to call into the small wooden cottage while pounding on the door to see if anyone lingered within. For seconds, which felt like hours, I heard nothing but the approaching blaze. I gave a heavy sigh, hoping that the cabin was indeed vacant, decided I needed to move on and find a good place to deploy. When I made my way around the side of the building, a blood-curdling scream from somewhere within caused just about every drop of blood in my face to sink to my churning stomach. With that aggravated orange glow coming from behind me growing closer by the second, I had no time to waste. But I could not allow anyone trapped inside to be consumed by this inferno. This being far from the first time that I've ever taken down a door, I made quick work of.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Taking only 2 single swings of my axe to break through. My mask was foggy between the heat, causing me to sweat like a river, and the smoke already filling the room. But I could tell the screams were coming from below. When I located the door to an apparent basement, I had to break that one down as well, as it was held shut with even more locks than the one that led into the house. I could barely fathom why anyone would be concealed in such a manner, but I didn't need to waste any energy focusing on the great many questions that were building up. I finally broke through that door, hearing the shrill screams far louder than before. Between my racing heartbeat and my foggy mask, I damn near tripped down the steep stairs in my haste. When I reached the bottom floor, I could barely believe my eyes when I looked upon the source of the horrifying yells that led me into this old cabin. It took me a moment to recognize her, given the state that she was in. But Parker had been stripped naked, strapped to a chair with leather belts around her arms, legs, and torso. I couldn't imagine what sort of person could have carved the intricate symbols and ruins into just about every inch of her flesh that I could make out. But it was the blood that spewed from her wrists that had my more immediate concern. The gashes looked fresh, but I knew how quickly every last of lifeblood could leak from such wounds. I cut the straps from her arms first, as they allowed me the freedom to work on ceasing the blood flowing from her wrists. She was covered in blood from head to toe, clearly in shock and weakening by the second. Not only that, but that whooshing sound from beyond the walls was drawing closer with every moment I spent getting her loose. It wasn't until I was cutting the straps around her shins that I noticed the grooves in the floor, to which the blood from her torn wrists were leaking. Though I knew that I had to get us out of there, I couldn't help but trace my eyes across the ground, following where those 2 grooves led to a 5-pointed star in the center of the room. It could be nothing more than that orange glow from the slender windows near the ceiling that make that pentagram look as though it was almost shimmering from its own light. But when Parker barked my name, pulling my attention back to the situation at hand, I had to push my curiosity to the side. It didn't take me much longer to get the last strap around her midsection cut, but time was not something that we had the luxury of. When I noticed Liz's discarded clothing and gear near the back wall, we both worked quickly to get her into a fit condition to get out of there. She was still in somewhat of a shocked and frenzied mental state, but her instincts were still intact. Even if it was the panic that caused her to run before, I had to give it to her on this one. Most other people may be damn near catatonic if they had endured what she had been through, but not Elizabeth Parker. If we survived this, I hoped that she would be able to give me some answers as to who did this to her, but those would have to wait. The exterior walls were already smoking when we had reached the ground floor, with the inferno raging right outside the splayed open front door. Both of us thankful to see the situation not quite as dire to the rear of the building, but we knew that wouldn't last. Though she was weak from blood loss, she still moved almost as quickly as she could with a full tank. We busted through the back door and gunned it as quickly as we could. I could tell my oxygen was starting to run low, but with the flames right on our asses, that was the least of my concerns. As soon as we saw the riverbank, Liz was already pulling out her shelter, reminding me to do the same. While hers was still fresh, mine had already endured that first wave, but I hoped and prayed that it could handle another one. Even if I was halfway tempted to just leap into the water, I followed the book and planted my face back to the ground in the hopeful safety of my best impression of a TV dinner. Our screams blended into one as the fire embraced our flimsy tombs, while a distant explosion assured me that the cabin likely held some flammables within. I didn't doubt that the small cottage would have survived this, but I had hoped enough that it would remain to potentially yield some evidence. Perhaps my mind was simply looking for distractions while my skin began to feel as though it was cooking. Parker still shrieked from beside me, but I could only imagine how badly those fresh wounds covering her sheltered body were burning at that point. Other than that glorified sunburn that I had received from that first wave, I was mostly in one piece, while my crewmate was beaten, bloody, and bordering on bloodless at the time. Still, given what we had went through already, I truly was not expecting us to survive this. Not with how bad it had gotten by the time we escaped the cabin. When a hauntingly deep scream yelled out from somewhere off in the distance, I damn near crapped my pants. Something about that horrendous wail sounded both agonizing and furious. At first, I thought my shelter was failing, and the sound was caused by my eardrums melting away. Another thought that crossed my mind, after assuring myself I wasn't a Thanksgiving turkey just yet, was that the fire itself screamed out in anger while we held it back with our protective cocoons. Perhaps it had its fill of wood and stone, and our keeping ourselves concealed was denying it the meat it desired. Irrational? Maybe so, but I wasn't feeling particularly rational at the time. Even with the angered whooshing surrounding me, as well as the splinting and crackling of the trees, spilling more debris across my fragile shell, I became aware of one more sound that threatened to cause my bladder to give out. Being fully aware of the inferno raging outside my flimsy shelter, I was certain the footsteps I heard approaching couldn't belong to anything living. With my heart racing so erratically, I tried to convince myself that it was nothing more than my frenzied pulse beating against my inner wall of my ears. But that didn't explain how it was drawing closer by the second. As I felt my shelter wrinkle, as though fingers were wrapping around it from the outside, I had no doubt it was failing, and the burning hot fumes would breach my lungs soon. I screamed out harder than I ever had before. Even more so when Parker let out another shrill squeal from beside me. Part of me wanted to break free of my confinement in hopes of saving her before the flames consumed me, but I knew there was nothing that I could do, not with how hopeless the situation was looking for the both of us. I was barely aware of the sounds of the scooper above, nor the approaching ground crew, but when that first blast of water rained down across me, I can't even describe the sensation in a way that would even give it justice. Everything faded into a blur as voices called out from around me, while I hesitantly pulled myself free of my shelter. Just about everything I looked upon was blackened and charred, but the faces, both familiar and unfamiliar, around me were one hell of a sight for my reckoned and swollen eyes. Though I was still mentally out of it, I managed to get the attention of some of the others on the scene to get Parker some help. By the time I and a few other boys got her to safety, the fire had almost been beaten into submission. I stayed with Liz on the ride to the hospital, with the recommendation that I get checked out as well, as I too had sustained some pretty decent burns over the last hour or so. In all honesty, I could barely believe that all of it occurred with such a short period, but that's the nature of trauma, I suppose. Over the following days, when Parker was up to it, we both had questions to answer. I couldn't tell them much, given that it was a combination of luck and the fire that led me to that cabin in the middle of nowhere, and unfortunately, Parker couldn't offer much either. According to what she could recall, as I had suspected, she took off running the second she saw Gray, and Jackson attempted to escape the approaching blaze. Whether she thought they knew something she didn't, or it was simply her panic that inspired her to follow them, she couldn't say. But it wasn't something that she was proud of, regardless of the circumstances.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Tough as nails, Parker. But any one of us can lose it when faced with such things, so nobody looked at her any differently for that. Apparently, while running as quickly as she could, something either hit her or shocked her. Whatever it was, it knocked her out cold. When she awoke, she was exactly where I had found her, with no memory of who had carved the numerous wounds into her flesh. Gray and Jackson were located not far from the cabin, maybe 20 yards to the west of it. Given the fact that they had been consumed by the fire, it was presumed that they had simply failed to deploy in time. When the pathologist found some trauma to the back of their heads that was not caused by the blaze, it would be taken for granted that whoever had attacked Parker likely took them out of the equation as well. I can happily report that the rest of my crew made it through that wildfire with nothing more than some similar injuries to those that I suffered. Second-degree burns, some bumps, bruises, scrapes, and such. There were others out there that day who left those woods in much worse shape than us, but things could have been a lot worse, all things considered. I spent a lot of time at the hospital over the next few months, giving support to Parker while she endured several painful procedures. To this day, there's still some residual scarring, given how deeply those symbols were carved into her, but we never found out what any of them represented. She and I both researched all types of foreign and even ancient dialects, but haven't turned up anything like those that she still sees in the mirror. Be it from the extreme circumstances we endured that day, or the subsequent months of sharing each other's company, we grew close over that time. We're coming up on our second anniversary soon, something she makes sure I don't forget. Even though she took my last name, I still call her Parker. It just feels strange to call her anything else, even after everything. We moved out to a smaller town a couple of years back. She's still on the job, while I've taken a bit of a back seat to most of the action these days. I still get into the thick of it at times. Plus, some of the things that I have seen as an EMT are almost as crazy as what brought my wife and I together. Those are stories for another time, though. We never got answers as to who abducted Parker in the middle of the wildfire, but I can't help but wonder sometimes if the fire somehow guided me to her. It's crazy, I know. But after so many years fighting against the monster, perhaps we had grown to respect one another to a certain extent. I still think about it often, everything we endured that day. Maybe that's why I've invented such, well, creative explanations for how things went. Even though we survived that wildfire against all odds, I wake up in a cold sweat at times, after hearing those footsteps drawing closer in my dreams. Those are the sounds that stick with me, far more so than the whooshing of the inferno around us. Whether they were a product of my mind in a literally heated situation, I suppose I'll never know. But I still wonder sometimes. If that fire did indeed lead me to the cabin that day, could it be that it also feared what was responsible for what happened to Parker? It has been said, after all, that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the story tonight. And being a firefighter is risky in itself. But to have something like this happen, coming across some crazy, wild hillbilly, whatever the hell, satanic butcher man in the woods, that's just simply insane. But you never know what's out there in the woods. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter. Have a good night, and stay spooky.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary, not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.